You're listening to Chameleon Church, biblical antidotes for the modern man, with your host, Ellen Aguirre.
We got this new coffee maker for Hanukkah, and it's been a challenge. Coffee has been a challenge. I'm not liking the way it tastes. The grinder in it is a different type of grinder, which makes the coffee doesn't taste very good. And so I got up this morning to make coffee for the missus and I. So you thought I was like in the throes of heaven, in the throes of worship and getting downloads from the throne room on what to talk to you about this morning. No, I've been fighting with the coffee maker. And I made a pot of coffee and I took it up to the missus and I took a sip of it and it wasn't good. Tasted like crap. Tasted burnt and this. And so this coffee maker also has one of those pod things on the side. So I had to make myself a pod. Oops. I'm still not buying it. I'm thinking, you know, it's like a little alien pod that you're going to boil and then drink. It's just the weirdest thing. And then Chris shows up out of nowhere saying that I'm muted. So I was muted. Alan Aguirre here, your host of the Chameleon Church Show. Welcome. It's Tuesday morning, January 4th, 2022. I'm coming to you live and direct from the Wasatch back in northern Utah, where it is definitely winter. It is definitely winter. And since you guys already popped up, hey, thanks for telling me I was muted.
I was trying. I texted you and just, I gotta save him.
Save me from myself.
Coffee troubles, huh? In this world, you have trouble.
Right? But and it's you would think we would be... We wouldn't have coffee problems in this modern day and age, right?
Well, you do live in the United States.
I know, man. It's rough.
So rough.
So what's going on? What's up with you boys?
Happy New Year. Is that a legal blessing?
No, it's okay. I mean, I talked about that the other day. There are Torah terrorists out there that will be triggered by that. Why? I don't know. It's like, what are they going to, if they have to write a check or if they have to add the date to any document, what do they do? Do they write, what is it? 58, whatever Hebrew year they think it might be. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. There's people out there that make it really, really, really kind of really, really weird about the Gregorian year. It's like, why? What's the point? Why are you making it weird? Don't make it weird. You know what I mean? But they do. People make it weird. They have to. It's like,
do they tell you their height in cubits?
Right? That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, they just, you know, this people need to make it weird. They just can't. Well, I just don't understand.
I got a good year so far. Snow melted.
Yeah, they have to make it weird. I like the idea of them telling us their height in cubits. It's just, you know, it's goofy like that. They make it goofy like that, you know. Like I was saying last night, somebody was saying that, the reason why you can't heal the sick is because you're not saying it with the right name. You know, it's Jesus' name, and it's whatever their version of it was, whatever it was, you know. And I'm like, no, man. And then so then I ask, well, how many people have you healed in that name? And of course, they don't heal at all. It's just people are just really stupid, like my coffee maker.
So who gave you the coffee maker? Or was it like a family?
I think. Well, Christina got it for herself, and it's just not happening, man. It's. Name brand, blah, blah, blah. And it's just, it's not making as good as coffee as the one before that. Now they did change the grinder. That has something to do with it. And so we're doing all these. So we're grinding it ahead of time. And then it's just, And it's the first thing in the morning. It's like, it's not like I've been awake for 3 hours. Are you kidding? And so, you know, struggling and fighting with a coffee maker and then having to, and then after making it, it ends up being crap.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know. So anyway, it was a struggle because I want to get a cup of coffee to my wife before I have to start doing this. And so I'm running around like a crazy man. And then I come down here, I take a sip and it's like horrible. So I had to go and make another one. And I had to put a little alien pod in there and boil the heck out of him and squeeze his juices out into a cup. That's just weird.
Do you play music in the morning to get going?
I don't do nothing, man.
No.
I roll out of bed.
My friend used to get up. I mean, he probably still does, but he'd call it metal in the morning.
Oh, geez.
So he'd start his coffee, turn on the metal, and like, dude, this is too much. This is too early.
I don't like metal in the afternoon.
It was him. Yeah, I know. But he liked the adrenaline rush.
Wow, that's a bit much.
It is. No. Lenny, what's up with you, Lenny?
If I talk, my breath will freeze in the air, put it that way. It's cold outside.
Hey, I need to go get my iPad and put it right here because my confidence monitor is only showing me. It's not showing all y'all.
You be you. You do what you got to do. All
right,
it's cold. How about up in Seattle?
Yeah, it's cold. It warmed up a little bit. Snow melted, but it'll be high 30s today. Who knows? Boring, boring, boring. Blah, blah, blah. Weather, weather, weather.
It's cold. It's kind of neat, though. We went down to the jetty yesterday and saw the king tide, these big 30-foot waves. We can just sit there and just watch it forever. Really cool looking as they break over the jetty. So a bunch of people were out there just when they heard about it.
Fun.
That's some of the benefits.
Are they out there flying kites?
No kite would stay in the air. I mean, it was windy.
Wow.
Windy, windy, windy. So it's been just great New Year, but cold.
Hey, let me ask. This is like just, I don't know what kind of question this is. Bible trivia. David in the Psalms writing about waves and breakers. Talking about the ocean. I mean, it seems like he saw it enough that he could write about it. What do you think he was doing on the ocean or the sea?
So what do you think? What do you think it?
Would he be going to the coast? I mean, he's writing in the Psalms. He's writing about waves and.
Well, the Mediterranean Sea isn't that far. It's right there.
Well, yeah, I know. But I just like, man, I wonder how often he went to the ocean. I wonder what was a.
Well, how far is Jerusalem? About 40 miles?
Yeah, it's not far
at all. Yeah.
Not far at all.
But, you know, it's just not a picture you get of David walking the beach, you know, the Mediterranean. But then
really?
Not one I had. Just curious. Going up and down the Mediterranean Sea.
Oh, you've not been to the land, have you?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would give you perspective.
You haven't been to the land, have you? My minion, my sweet minion. When was the last time you were at the land?
Golly.
Oh, do you mean the Holy Land?
It only takes one time.
So, I would love to go.
Did you get to see Lance Wallnau's three key things for 2022?
No.
Him and his wife got on. It was really interesting.
Oh,
really
was that good. The one with him and his wife in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
That guy did like four shows like in one night. He did like this midnight, late night thing with his wife. And the next thing I know, he's live and he's behind this piano, this baby grand piano. And then the next thing he's doing a talk show thing. It's like the guy was like going nuts. Yeah.
What were the three keys, Lenny?
Well, the last key was the interesting because I've heard it. There's this thing called Rend the Heavens, this global call to worship. They're out of Jerusalem. The way I heard it is I got the email from Wes and Stacy Campbell down in Santa Maria. And everyone is saying this, and we've heard this. It says, the big key is the family altar and the power of short targeted prayers of agreement by couples and children. This is Lance Wall now. Don't make it complicated. Try this for 30 days. Have a family meeting on the Sabbath and pray. Eat, play games, watch what happens. That was the watchword. He said that is going to be the blessing and victory. And these other people, they're televising just their gathering on Shabbat for this whole revival prayer. And it's quite a few different ministries tied together, not just Hebrew root stuff, but all of them are saying the same thing. Please join us for Sabbath. And I'm going, wow, that's an interesting insight. We know what that means, but it's something's really catching up here in 2022. And I thought that was really encouraging. But he also said that he goes, this is a year you will become the prophet you need in your life. Speaking of us and what the Bible reveals is yours. So he says, this is to authorize the manifestation of heaven by your words. And I thought it was when he expounded on that, when Lance expounded on that, if you could find it, go back and listen to it. I thought it was really kind of interesting because his wife was saying, we're calling in our children. We're calling in all the misfits. We're calling in all the lost sheep, those that have wandered away. And it was just a really good word that they had. And he says, for the older folks, it's time that you bring your word to your front door. I thought that was interesting. Those that have been around.
The part that I did hear, I heard, like I said, he did like four things over between Saturday and Sunday or something. And one of the things he did, he was at his desk with his, I don't know, sidekick, that girl, blonde girl or whatever. And so she was reading off something and she was using some verbiage that we use, like nominal. And so essentially what she was saying, I obviously, you know, made sense to me because we say it here all the time. And it was interesting because it coincided with something a friend of mine had posted like a couple days prior to that or something. And so I'll share with what my friend posted because I really bore witness with it. And then this Lance Wallnau girl posted, you know, said what she said, and they kind of worked together. But my friend was talking about my friend shared something that happened with her daughter. And, she woke up and wasn't able to breathe. And so that had never happened, you know, with any of her two children. So the daughter couldn't breathe. They were on vacation. And so as they're praying, you know, as they're calming the child down, I'm not sure how old the girl is. As they're calming her down, they were asking, you know, what's going on here? The Lord reminded her, you know, everything that goes on with your daughter is prophetic. She's not able to breathe. And so as she's praying into it, that understanding, the girl fully asleep wakes up and says, I'm ready to wake up now. And then rolls over and everything's fine. And so what she got out of it was the whole, so We've talked at length on here about what's happened since March of 2020 with the church body. We had a prophetic warning in October. We've said some things towards December and January, and then what happened. And then we've been talking about how the majority church, the mainstream church, not the bride, but the majority church, the mainstream church, has you know, it's almost as if they sold their birthright for a, you know, and they rejected and they demonized the spirit of prophecy, which is a testimony of Jesus. And by doing so, were deceived into aligning themselves with the humanistic spirit that has been driving a lot of stuff the last couple of years. Some, you know, three-letter acronyms and stuff like that. So my friend with her daughter, she used the words the elect and how the elect has been wakened in the last 20 months, but the mainstream, you know, the majority mainstream nominal church is still asleep. And the question is, the question for 2022 from the father is, are you ready to wake up now? I think that's how she put it. I wrote it down because it's something I think it was very important. Are you ready to wake up now? Which gives, again, grace and mercy. And then, so there's that. And so I'm thinking of that, and I've got that in the back of my mind, and I'm letting that marinate. And then this Lance Walnut lady, this chick, you know, this woman that's on Lance's show, is talking about not being armed. The church not being armed, and then she goes back to Israel. Remember, with Israel under Saul, the Philistines, there were no were those people that work with iron. There was no blacksmith in the land of Israel, in case they made weapons, and so Israel would have to go to the Philistines to get their stuff sharpened. Their farming tools. If they wanted to sharpen anything of metal, they had to go to the Philistines and they had to do it because they were basically subjugated, which is in King Saul's in prophet, the Samuel prophet's days, in King Saul's days, which is indicative of how far removed Israel was from God's blessing and obedience. Because remember, if you're going into the land and if you obey me, none of these things will happen. But when you don't obey me, these are the things that are going to happen to you. So we're at the point where if Israel needed a knife or shears or any blades, if they needed anything sharpened, they had to go to the Philistines. The Philistines would sharpen it for them because that kept them from being able to make their own weaponry, which kept them from being able to defend themselves from their enemies in the land. Well, they're not supposed to have enemies in the land. They're supposed to be above the head, not the tail, not below. But because of their sin and their lack of obedience, they're being subjugated by the Philistines. So there's no weapons in the land of Israel. And so this Lance Walnut lady was talking about the nominal Christian. She used the word nominal, how, because they're nominal, they don't have power. They're not armed. They're not awake. So if the spirit is talking about waking up the church body, because the elect are already awake, and having to rise up and arm themselves. And then we talk about, remember, weapons of light, armor of light. I thought it was interesting. Those are the two things I thought were interesting about what I heard being said about 2022. What do you guys think?
I think it's going to be it's going to be a talking point. It sure is. The interesting thing, because as you were talking about the nominal Christians, I think it's interesting. Once Jesus got confronted by Satan, I was just reading that this morning in Matthew 4, right after that, after he came off the temptation, it says he began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And remember, that was interpreted by his own disciples. Well, I guess he's going to come to take Rome. He's coming to take over, which is the essential understanding of what the kingdom of heaven is. It's the kingdom of heaven isn't just to bring happiness to all. It's the Son of Man coming back to rule his kingdom, where we read in Revelations, and on his garment was blood stained because he took over the nations. And so, and that was their understanding from Isaiah and all of them. So I think that opening of the eyes is tantamount. And as you were talking about the nominal Christian, he spoke to me right. It was on the day before New Year's. He talked to me about that fine line. And I think it's out of Second Chronicles, Josiah, who was the most phenomenal king. They said that when he did Passover for the first time in I don't know how many years, it said it was nothing ever compared to what he did. And I mean, God blessed him. He found the book of the law and everything. But at the very end, he is just riding high. The king of Egypt says, okay, I'm coming against one of the clan, which are probably one of the brothers. He goes, because God commanded me, and Josiah didn't listen to him. And he didn't realize God was still in control of the nations. And so I saw this warning also, not just to the nominal Christians, but to the body, to those that are the elect, that they have to learn what that fine line is, that God will still use the nations and the watchers and everything else, because what's coming down is going to really require discernment. And it's going to be a year where I think we have to really teach that discernment is not only grace, it's the fear of the Lord. And so he just spoke to me. He keeps saying over and over, you need to learn what that fine line is. Don't think you know. And it's just something that he put on my heart. So I wrote a couple of papers. I'm still trying to take and edit just the things that as he starts to reveal more to me. And I'm going, because I think we talked about this a while back too. It's just the lack of discernment people have and not understanding what his word is and who he is, because we only think of him one way. Mm-hmm. So it caused me to fear the Lord when I saw that. I'm going, man, he's got everything going for him, and yet God's using these radical, nasty kings to do his job and his own people to bring judgment to him so that they will wake up. You know, and that's a hard thing to say. People don't want to hear that.
Yeah. So. And like Tim says, only David and only Saul and Jonathan actually had swords. And when it came to David, David had to actually go into the temple and get a sword.
Yep.
To arm himself with.
Yep. Yes, he did. Yeah, it was Second Chronicles 34 and 35.
What do you think, Chris?
It's a lot. The message of repent. John the Baptist, I mean, you go further back, but in my readings recently, John the Baptist. And then that first chapter in Acts, where he's still recapping Jesus's last 40 days, and he's saying he's preaching repentance also, and they're asking him, like you were saying, Alan, so when's the kingdom coming? Are we taking over now? It's basically what they're asking. And he says, no, the counselor's coming. And then there's the upper room, flames of fire. And he's preaching the message then, repent, repent, repent. It's the same message. Repent. I guess what I'm wondering about, I've heard some words too that I'm not necessarily jiving with. You know, you'll have different variances of words that are on that spectrum between repent, there's still time, versus the door is shut, it's too late. If you aren't on the side already, it's over. What do you think? Maybe we just said USA churches. Like, what's the for a large portion of them, there's a repentance aspect. And then for others that are maybe more in the middle or lukewarm, like what's the action? Is there action beyond repentance? Is the action the same for everyone? Or some people it's a call to repentance, some people it's a call for the discernment piece.
Can you remember what Paul said, the definition, and not just definition, but it was his whole understanding of Torah, what repentance was. It was pretty, it's not what we're usually taught, repent, not just, well, it means turn around and go the other way. It means to hate the very thing that caused you to bring error. It says to go back and make that right, which you did wrong. This is 2 Corinthians. And it says to be humble before your God, that it's sincere and not. He was quoting right from the Torah. And people usually aren't taught that about repentance. And it was in reference to the guy who was committing incest with his relative. But he says, this is what repentance looks like. It's everyone goes, well, it could look different for someone else. Not really. He gave us a boundary and a guide to it. And usually that's what got me in trouble when I'd have to tell someone, no, you don't have the right to divorce your spouse. You better repent. And what does that mean? Well, when they had to deal with the fact that they had to go back and make that right, which was wrong, I had a lot of people leave the church over that kind of stuff in the course of one of the areas where they called me just too hard. And I'm going, sorry. And I've tried to in my own life, and I'm going, huh. So it's that repentance is always personalized, always back down to us and our relationship with the living God. When we look at, if we're looking just to repent because of the days are coming, that's a big picture, but it always comes down to the individual. And it puts us between us and our God. And when you do that, you're humbled, you know, because I think I mentioned this yesterday, there's a lot of cultural disconnects right now with where the church is at and what's going on in the world. And it's on that level where I agree with that word. He's telling us to wake up, but wake up to what? And he's putting this way. He's putting the squeeze on. We talked about that last week. He's squeezing right now. And oh boy, when you're squeezing, you're trying to get perspective and it's hard. You got to really pay attention so that the sweetness of the true fruit comes out. Trimmer, you said it right. People need to distinguish between regret, remorse, and repentance. That's why Paul was so specific.
So do we have an encouraging thing to tell anybody?
I do. I was, yes.
It's life.
All right. That's good. We're done here. I get weary of the Jesus and message. And I think for me, the encouragement, it's actually simpler than a lot of people try to make it, in the sense of, you know, the way to the Father is through Jesus. It's a narrow gate, but we can see the gate, and just pursuing the Lord, lifting him up. In the end, every knee will bow. So getting in that stream, the worship stream now, and just coming before him brings the peace, brings the discernment. There's just no other way. Unleash, Alan, unleash, bring it.
I posted something yesterday from Mario Murillo. Mario Murillo posted an image, and it said, "We need men and women to preach in such a way that entire audiences begin to sob and cry out until righteousness rains down on this nation that is dying before our very eyes." And then he said, "Holy Spirit, sweep across our plains, go deep in our valleys, and reach us on the mountaintops. Holy Spirit, make your home in every corner of our lives. Upend us, change us, restore us, reform us, remake us. We are yours, Lord, all yours."
He promises mercy with that. You know that? You know what, Mario Morales? Sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Man, that's an incredible word there. That's what righteousness is, man. You're not only looking at, you want to talk about encouragement, you're looking at the grace of God through his mercy. Man, that causes everyone not only to humble themselves, but they go, God, you're my all in all. That's what brings the glory down. If I want to get charismatic here, what, my background, what can I say? And we need his glory.
Seek him while he may be found, and yeah, then the waters will not overwhelm us.
That's right.
I love that verse.
Oh, boy. That's so good. I was telling Chris, me and Linda went down yesterday just for a drive down to the jetty to watch these 25 and 30-foot waves from the king tide. And you look at that power and that majesty, and boy, yet our God is the one who creates that. It's his breath that makes that happen. So just, it's amazing to watch, to sit and look at that. I, living in Utah, I didn't get that chance. But it's kind of nice, even though I'm freezing out here.
Yeah, I saw that post.
The ocean, man. When the camera went down towards my feet, literally, I couldn't hold on to anything. My hat was blowing off. The phone was almost getting blown out of my hands. And I'm going, yikes. But Linda was in the car. So then I came back and she goes, well, I got to go out and see it. So she just ran out with her hood on. She didn't even want to bring her camera out there. I'm going, and it was amazing. It was just like, can watch that stuff. The tide rose 9.4 feet yesterday. That's huge. It's going to be a good year. I think it's going to be a good year. And I believe the Spirit of God really wants to speak up through this little group right here to make that impact. I'm just amazed at the different giftedness with you, Chris, and Alan, his prophetic release. I just sense it's going to really, I don't know, it's one of the things I've been seeing more and more. I'm trying to really learn to what I see to make it simple. Because when it comes to me, it's like, yikes. It's going to be a year of turnaround. Uh-oh. There I'm going. I'm doing my charismatic thing again.
Texas Red, no, you don't ask Mrs. A on Facebook about anything. just send us an email. Just send me an email. Oh, man. Leave my wife alone. I hope our lack of conversation isn't indicative of this coming year.
I don't think so.
Sitting here going,
I'm just thinking about the majesty piece. You're just talking about the waves. And he holds the waves back, but he's displaying his power through a tide movement of 9.5 feet, 30-foot waves. His mercies endure forever. Like the God, what's got my tongue is the God of the universe is waiting for us to repent.
Yeah,
and that mercy piece. I've heard the quote: "Great power comes great responsibility." So,
Spider-Man.
Yeah, I know. It's cropped up a couple of times. There's the power and the so he has all the power, and you could not say he's not being responsible with his mercy. And I don't have that. I don't have the patience and the mercy. Like if someone's not doing something I want, like whack them. But man, it's an incredible when you hold the lens of majesty and power and mercy. It's a display of his love and goodness that he wants all to repent.
You know, they said Leonard Ravenhill when he preached it. Yeah, when Leonard Ravenhill preached in the turn of the century, whenever he would talk on mercy, it says they would weep and weep. That's how incredible mercy is. I mean, it's the display of his love. Wow.
Well, to answer Marie's question, yes. The topic of that I brought up, what my friend said about her daughter, are we ready to wake up yet? The thing about the Lance Wall Now lady. Yeah, this is what I wanted to talk about. It's just, yeah.
Well, you gave that illustration about worship out of Isaiah 66. That's powerful.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah.
That's real powerful. Talk about spirit and truth. Oh, my gosh.
Talk about a side of God that Christianity, I don't know if they have a...
No grid.
So, Chris, you weren't there last night. So,
right.
In Isaiah 66, it talks about how from new moon to moon, new moon, on every new moon, on every Rosh Kodesh, which is occurring tonight. Tonight's the new moon. Tonight's the Rosh Kodesh new moon because no one saw the visible crescent last night. We'll see it tonight. But then it defaults because it's the 30th day. Anyway, so tonight's the new moon. So Isaiah, the last chapter of Isaiah, the wrapping up of his book, he says, every living being, right? I mean, everyone is going to, his people. From new moon to moon, new moon, and we'll have to go to Jerusalem and to worship him. And then every Sabbath. So every week we're going to go, there's a gathering. And then every month there's a gathering. And then at the end of these two gatherings, he then parades his people past the rebellious humans that were found rebellious, that are dead, but they're not dead dead. I'll just read it. What is it? All right. Isaiah, we're in chapter 66, starting with verse 23. From new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. And they shall go out, right? And when you leave this assembly, and they shall go out and look on the dead bodies of the men who have rebelled against me. And one of the rebellions is eating of swine. For their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. So at the end of these worship services, once a month and every week on the new moon and on Shabbat, we are going to be walking past these dead rebellious people, the dead bodies of the men who have rebelled against me. And I know for a fact that Christians aren't told, they've never been taught this. They're not taught this. It's a very difficult thing to believe that God would do that. So after our worship service, we're going to parade by these dead rebellious people. But that's how God does it. See, Christianity does it a different way. This is how God does it. And we were talking about that last night. What do you think about that? I mean, how insane is that?
Yeah, man. I was just reading the end of this. I got it up here on my screen.
It's terrifying. And yet at the same time, he's
just.
Yeah.
It's happening in Jerusalem.
Yeah. Now remember, this is the same Mount Sinai that if you're a believer that eats swine, you're not allowed up onto Mount Sinai to worship him. That's chapters 65 and 66.
And he qualifies those as the rebellious ones too.
Yeah.
You know what? It's interesting. I was thinking about that. When that day comes and we walk out among them, can you imagine the metaphor in our heart of where we left our sin and his great mercy to be with us? And like Paul would write in Romans 12, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. That would be going through my head as I would walk down the corridors of seeing the dead rebellious people saying, oh my gosh, that living sacrifice encompasses man, just loving him with everything that's within us and realizing how much his mercy was there to save us from our sin. And then those that didn't want it, that's the message we got to preach, man, because they don't know what their fate's going to be. They don't, I mean, even the nominal Christian, they're clueless. And his mercies, man, can you imagine? All these things are going through my mind. They cried out, his mercies endure forever. That was their song, their chant, or whatever, man, when they went against the enemies of God. That's just provoking something about the weapons of our warfare, you know, in praise and high praise. But that high praise isn't just a song that lifts us up. It's a song that brings reality. It's like the songs you write, Alan. They bring a reality and you hear it and you go, one of the things, I play your songs all the time, the Ministries Walking ones, and I over and over, what do I hear? I hear his majesty and his awesomeness. But I also feel an intense the rebuke of what happens if I go against and yield to my own sin. And his mercy was there to Cain. I read this morning because I'm in Genesis 4. It's the fourth day I'm in Genesis 4 with my McShane reading along with the Torah portions. He says, if you do right, Cain, you'll be okay. All he had to do was repent. But he says, sin's waiting at your door. And he chose the sin because of his own stinking pride.
Sin is crouched at the door and it wants you, but you can master it. You can only
you can master it. That's right.
I mean, to get that final warning from God himself and to squander it.
I know. His mercy was right in his face.
Man, his mercy was right in his face.
I just posted Lance Wallnau's declaration.
Who did?
I did.
Okay. I also mentioned last night, I was on a Zoom call yesterday with Messianic leaders in Jerusalem. 50, 60 people. And they were talking about the state of that word we can't use because it'll flag us, and how DNA, you know, they were talking about that. They were talking about DNA, transhumanism, Nephilim. And we're talking charismatic messianic believers in Jerusalem, the messianic church in Israel. And, you know, the whole G6 thing has been a big deal for me since, you know, God told me to look into that back in 86. So to be sitting in a Zoom conversation with messianic leaders in Israel and having to breach the possibility that we're seeing that happening, it was a little surreal. I don't think we can ignore that. I don't think we can ignore that type of conversation being, I don't think we can ignore the fact that that type of conversation is being held with those type of people in that place. Cause that's more significant. I mean, that's pretty significant. The Messianic church today in the land, 60 people got together and had that conversation. That should be giving us, that should make us all go, yikes. When the words transhumanism in Genesis 6 and Nephilim come out of Messianic believers, charismatic Messianic believers in the land, that's...
it's pretty significant.
I mean, they are skiing on Mount Hermon this time of year, right? I mean, it's just like... yeah, I think it's significant. And so when I got the link to join the conversation, I was like, yikes. And I just sat there. I didn't say nothing. I was just sat there quietly listening. I only knew a couple of the people. But I don't know. Are we being quiet? Are we being somber? It's because you got to remember the prophetic timeline. Just because a prophetic word is spoken here and then time happens and then it happens here doesn't mean, see, God doesn't see it like that. God's not anchored. Well, he voluntarily anchors himself to our time-space continuum, but he's outside of our time-space continuum. So it's not like he's sitting around waiting for stuff to happen in order to do something. It doesn't work like that for him. You know, it works like that for us. We're the ones that are in this time frame. You know, the fact that the Jesus movement, you know, 1968 to 1974 happened when it happened 50 years ago, doesn't mean it's been 50 years. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the word that Abram got took 400 years to come to pass. 400 years.
I don't think the silence this morning is indicative of not having anything to say, because Trimmer, Tim said this. He goes, it's important to consider words like this morning. I think a lot of people are contemplating on what's being said here this morning. I really do. And one of the hardest things to learn as a shepherd was that sometimes when I talk, I had to keep quiet. Because, man, it's going out in volumes to the people receiving it in their heart. And that's what I've been looking at the comments. And I'm going, people are receiving it in their hearts.
Yeah, good.
And I think, you know, just when you're mentioning this about what they're receiving over in Jerusalem right now, I think it's not only on time, on task, it's going to bounce back from there over here, because a lot of people have heard it, but I think it's going to just come back in droves here. There's a skeletal view of people here who know that kind of stuff, but it's going to come to the forefront more and more and more.
What I found interesting was the people that were having this conversation, you know, the leaders, they knew very little about transhumanism. They knew very little about the conversation. They knew very little about the subject matter. They knew very little on how G6 looks like. And I probably had I was probably the most versed in the conversation, but I didn't, like I said, I didn't say anything because I didn't want to be that guy, you know?
Yeah.
But just the fact that they're connecting these dots was unnerving. And let me explain what I'm trying to say, but the tone of this morning's show, I think is the tone of this morning's show, because is this indicative to the tone of this year is what I'm wondering.
Wake up.
Well, definitely wake up. Wake up. And not only was it wake up, but are you ready to wake up and then arm yourself after you wake up? And I was reminded of
our warfare.
I was reminded of a song that I wrote and recorded in this fall of 1982. Wake up, oh sleeper, something like that. I've touched on that subject matter a few times, song wise. So whenever I hear that, something goes on inside me. Are you ready to wake up? And then you have to arm yourself after waking up, you know?
Is sin disease going to become the worship of 2022? All your songs.
That'd be weird. What else?
Come on, Chris, what do you got?
Yeah, Chris. I'm out of coffee, so you're gonna have to hurry up.
You had a bad coffee.
I'm out of bad coffee. I gotta go get some more bad coffee. I have to go boil another alien pod.
Yeah, I just keep thinking of his mercies endure forever. The steadfast love of the Lord endures. I mean, it's silently sobering, but it's also thrilling.
I just want to be
to God's on the move, and if you're in his fortress, I mean, you're on the winning. You are secure. It's just a lot. It's a lot to think about what's coming, and but yet there's joy in it to see him return, to see him in Jerusalem, to be worshiping at his feet. It's speechless.
I just want to be found righteous in my generation. You know? Hey, while you're at it, don't forget the social media stuff. Like, share. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I just want to be found righteous in my generation. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to be on the wrong side of this thing.
I don't know. It brought me to Malachi. It says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. And he wrote in his book of remembrance what was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, and on that day I will make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him, and you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. And when Alan says he wants to be righteous at that end, that's what righteousness produces. It's not only the obedience, but it gives you that's what gives you the ability to discern between good and evil, between who serves him and who doesn't. And that's going to be a hard pill to swallow who's the brother you quoted from that you posted yesterday? Mario Murillo. The way he preaches, it's a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow. And God give us the words and the ability that when we do preach those words, people fall in love with them rather than turn away from them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the key. And that's what it's going to take to seek him and to pray in tongues and do everything we know how to do, so that his breath and his life rests on us, so that when we do proclaim and we do declare and we prophesy, they fall down and say, if a truth God is with you, and they fall in love with him even more. And I think we're going to be learning righteousness for all eternity personally. And that's what we're going to be weeping. And it brings me back after we worship and we see sin lying dead. That's where we cry out and say, thank you for your mercy, God.
Yeah.
It wants me to see sin lie dead in my tracks for me coming into 2022. That was the prophet Malachi. He was Italian. I had to say that. I'm sorry. Throw a little humor. My heritage, you know.
All right, Chris, what else do you have? No pressure. No pressure.
No pressure. A friend told me the other day, he said, he was encouraging me, texting me, saying, I feel like, did you say this? And he says, we don't need New Year's resolutions. We need new rhythms. And he was basically speaking to the, you know, the New Year is traditionally the time everyone decides to change their life from what it takes planning and decision. A decision, you know, I'm not going to eat pork this year. You can't just like make the, what I've been thinking about, you can't just make a decision not to do something without having a plan, you know, because it would affect especially lifestyle choices. Something around diet, you know, takes a decision, but then the shopping and how your family going to interact with your family. So I've been thinking about that. What rhythms, what kind of new things I want to try this year. Every year before the year rolls around, I kind of seek the Lord, what he wants me to study or glean this year. And so I've been hanging out in the book of John, feeling like I'm doing a deep dive in John and 1 John, 2 John. Don't know why, but I've been soaking that up. I want to grow in prayer this year.
Yo, Johnny.
Knowing the heart of the Father through prayer, which will help us in this season, help us in every season. But I just don't want to be the guy that is living what I call the independent life. It's easy. It can be easy for me to rely on my strengths or my go-tos. And I think the growth, spiritual growth, happens when the Lord takes us to the edge of our comfort zones. Whatever you're talking about. Ministry objectives, building a business, parenting, and it's just really easy to do life in our own strength, and I don't want to be that guy. I want to grow in the Lord by growing in my prayer life and my conversation with the Lord, and it's just something I'm really attentive to right now and asking the Lord what that means, what are the rhythms I need to adjust. If I was going to, the practicalities of blocking out time to be with the Lord with intention. Any advice?
That was good advice. Thanks.
You need a new drum set for all that.
Yeah, I do. Right. Like what you're saying about the prophetic and God's timeline, you know. Day versus 1,000 years, he speaks a word and it's you know, the now word. If you think about Revelation 4 and the throne room and they're worshiping now, and how are we aligning our life as on earth as it is in heaven? Worship is in heaven now. Worship is in the throne room now. And how do I align my life to participate that or hear from the Father, or what is God calling me into? Mm-hmm. What he wants to do on earth as it is in heaven, and how I can get blind to it, just doing your normal thing. I don't want to be blind. I don't want to just be numb to what the now that the Lord is calling us into.
Bonnie's asking, what does getting ready for battle look like?
Hanging out with the commander.
Well, let's look at it. We've all seen the movies. It could be any era. And as they're getting ready, they're usually if it's pre-gun, they're sharpening their weapons. They're sharpening and honing their weapons, or they're cleaning their guns and making sure everything's working right, oiling everything, right? So we're sharpening and oiling. We're making sure the weapons of our warfare are at their best that they can be, that they're lubricated, that they're working properly. There's no jams. The blades are sharp.
You found them.
Found them.
Wax on, wax off.
Right. Right. There's that. They're taking care of business. Maybe writing a letter. You know, I think of all the movies you've seen. So what does it look like for us in the spiritual realm? Same thing. Make sure we're in right standing. Make sure we're in alignment. Make sure we understand the instruction from our commander in chief regarding the battle, regarding that particular scrimmage that we're about to enter. And making sure we've got our armor of light on and making sure we have our weapons of light ready to go. Can you guys add to that?
Boy, you've heard of Miyagi-Do. We're coming to Chameleon-Do. Literally, that's...
Cobra Kai!
There you go. Put it into practice what we're hearing. Everything.
Yeah, there's a part of, you know, knowing the plan. Yep. What's the plan? What were the commands? Yeah. What's the macro and fasting, the micro?
Fasting, prayer, worship. So before we sign off, just in case you didn't know, I have to go. I won't be here next week. You guys are going to, if you guys don't mind running the show, I have an outpatient surgery on Thursday. If you guys could pray for me regarding that, because I'm not a big fan, you know, of doctors and surgeries and anesthesia and all that stuff. It kind of freaks me out. You know, it freaks me out a lot, not a little bit, but it freaks me out a lot. So I have to do that on Thursday. And I don't know how long I'll be, you know, it could be a couple of weeks or so. So if you guys don't mind taking it over on Tuesday next week, and then hopefully I'll be back the week after that. But yeah, if you guys can pray for me regarding that, that'd be awesome. If you think about me, if you pray and if you think about me. Other than that, man.
Chris, you got to pray for Alan now.
Yeah,
I'll let you guys pray for
me. We'll miss you. We'll try to hold it together next week. Okay, Lord, I ask you just to cover Alan in your mercies.
Yes, Lord.
You hold the waters back. You keep the waves from encroaching the land. So we know that healing Alan's body is no trouble for you. So you just ask for your covering over him. And that you would be with the doctors and be in the procedure, and that you would just heal him up, let him come back to full health. We just trust you and trust you under his blood for healing and wholeness. We worship you. We bless your name. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for the sobering realities that you invite us into. And we just release your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We come under your goodness, we come under your glory, we come under your provision, we step into your fortress, we take down all flags in your fortress that are not of you, that we have erected, claiming your tower by our name. And we just rip down the flags in your fortress that are not of you. Pray that you would give us discernment, show us the weapons of war, lead us to the things that we have been blind to because of our comforts. I mean, that you would just lead us into your goodness. We bless your name. Amen.
Amen. A pastor friend of mine in California, when I, you know, he told me that God has ordained this time and the next when it came to praying for me for this thing on Thursday. So that was cool. So yes, thank you.
That is good.
Thank you very much for your prayers. Well,
amen.
Another Chameleon Church in the books. You guys have any last words for these people?
Blessings.
Seek his face always.
Yes.
Amen.
You're listening to Chameleon Church, biblical antidotes for the modern man, with your host, Ellen Aguirre.
The views and opinions expressed during our broadcasts are solely those of the broadcast producers, hosts, and/or guests, etc., and are not necessarily the views or opinions of the Travelog Network, its sponsors, or affiliates.